If I sound good, I sound good.
You sound beautiful, sultry and smooth.
Yes. Now that's the intro.
Welcome to From a Certain Point of View. Rewind that. Take two.
No,
we're going to roll with it, folks. Welcome to A Certain Point of View, a Wooden Bolt Films podcast, everyone. I am Hayden Woodhead. I am one of your hosts today, and thank you for joining us as we kick into yet another sultry, smooth episode.
And starting off so good.
Back with me again is the one and only Mr. Fantastic, Mr. Justin Turnbull. How you doing, bud?
Oh, so good, Bruce. So good. I mean, this is what I look forward to, you know? It's sort of the end of last week was a bit stressful. First week back in 2021 and the end. Not in a bad way, just a lot going on. So, really looking forward to this week. And sitting here and shooting the breeze with you and talking about some cool stuff. How about yourself?
How about myself? Well, I was just about to ask you, what exactly are we going to be talking about? Because I think you're better at knowing than me.
That was my cue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. We do the thing where you bring in and I was just thinking, yeah, right, of course, people, I did forget. I was just playing silly. What have we got going up? Well, I'll tell you what we got coming up. We are going to actually... We've talked about this in the last episode and probably some previous episodes, but we are going to get into Mandalorian Season 2. So there will be some there will be some spoilers if you haven't watched it and don't want spoilers, but it's been long enough, people. If you're going to watch it, you would have watched it already. And if you're not interested in Star Wars, this is more than Star Wars. You're going to want to listen because this is grade A film TV at its best. And if we have some time after that, actually, we're going to get into some Michael Bay stuff. And if not, maybe we'll get into that next week. But that's the plan. And then, of course, we're going to get into some speed quotes. Send it to the lovely Rachel and Rachel's review because she's the best. And finish off with the whiskey shot. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, wait a minute. You didn't mention anything about trade talk or listener's question. We didn't. Because, I don't know, didn't make the cut. It didn't make the cut this week, people. Okay. We're trying to take our hour 47 episodes and trim it down a bit for y'all. If you're unhappy about that, let us know. Email us at fromacertainpointofviewpodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on any of our socials, Facebook From a Certain Point of View, Instagram From a Certain Point of View Podcast, or Twitter From a Certain PO1. But all kidding aside, we are going to continue to throw in listener questions. So do please hit us up there. We love the questions, the interactions, the conversations. It's maybe one of the best things about doing this is connecting with all you people around the world. It's quite incredible. And actually, I should note, there is a little bit of trade talk I think we're going to talk about, Hayden. But just because some news did come out that we did want to mention.
I also want to just mention real quickly, if you are from South America, please get in contact with us.
Oh,
we,
yes.
We have listeners in every major region in the world except for South America. So if you're from there but you're in Vancouver, let us know because I'll count that as a win.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we want to hear actually, hey, cool. Hey, let's do this. We record out of Vancouver, Canada. Send us an email from a certain point of view podcast at gmail.com. Let us know where you're listening from and who you are. Let's see who the farthest reaching person is. I mean, maybe you're from Burnaby and you email us and you're the only one. Well, you would technically be the farthest reaching person who contacted us. But let's challenge the audience here. Let's see where these people are.
Yeah, and we'll give you a nice, big, fat, happy shout out next episode.
Like the biggest happy. I'm talking like a full-blown Bridgerton shout out. I like that. I like that idea. And of course, though, like we always start the show, Hayden, what the heck have you been watching, my man? Sorry, let me take that back. Rewind. Bruv. What the heck have you been watching?
Bruv. You're on the air with the bruv. Thanks, Mr. Fantastic. I get a chance to talk some now. I should take back the intro. I should take back the full intro.
You would be better. Please do. I mean, come on.
I kid. It's nice to mix it up a bit every now and then. What have I been watching? I remembered a few from last week because I had to squash my viewing feedback because we were running a little long last week. So I only mentioned a few things that I'd been watching. But real quickly, Big Mouth season 4 came out. And those of you at home who might not know what it is, Big Mouth is an animated show that deals with a bunch of I don't even know what year of school. Middle school? Like, it's kind of different in Australia. It would be sort of grades 7 and 8. So that's technically high school. A bunch of kids going through the early stages of puberty. And it is hilarious. I don't know the writers off the top of my head. I really should, but they are
Nick Kroll.
There you go.
Bro.
I should know. Very famous writers, very famous comics. Great show. Been waiting a while for that season to come out, actually. They did a Valentine's Day episode last year as like a one-off episode in between seasons. So it's been almost 2 years since they had a new season come out. Well, it feels like that, maybe a year and a half. Anyway, breezed through that show, laughing my patootie off the couch. As was Alex. It's an absolutely wonderful, fantastic show. If we have listeners that are under the age of 15, ask your parents before you watch it. Even though it deals with things that you'll be going through, the language and some of the other things that are dealt with, on a higher level of age restriction there.
Can I say something quickly?
I think so.
It may not be quick. This may spiral into a conversation. I love Big Mouth. It is something that I have also failed to talk about. But you're so right. It is so funny, but it deals with something that every young person goes through in their life. And I almost, yes, aspects of it are, it's quite a raunchy show. It does not shy away. It is vulgar. It is all those things, but also it deals with some really important issues that kids go through when they're going through puberty. And it should be talked about because it is normal and it is hilarious. You know, some of the stuff you deal with, I can't speak for women, but for men, they like, you know, if you're a man listening to this, think of some of the things that happen to you when you're going through puberty in middle school. And it touches on it in a very funny, raunchy way. You need to watch it. Anyway, sorry to interrupt because I love that show. I'm so happy you brought it up because I completely forgot about even talking about it until you mentioned it. So back to you, Hayden.
I just want to say real quick, could you make sure your phone's turned off?
Did it just beep?
Yeah, I was just backtracking what you gave. You gave me shtick last week because my phone bling-dinged on air. Yours made some lovely little echo charm. Bling, bling, bling.
I didn't even hear it because I was too busy listening to myself talk.
There you go. Anyway, apart from Big Mouth.
We're off to a rough start.
Yeah. A rough. I watched a film over the Christmas period that I wanted to talk about last week because I actually really enjoyed it. I had no idea about it because I think it was a Netflix original release, but it's called Jingle Jangle with Forest Whitaker. And it's a very colorful film, like very bright and vibrant. And it's part musical, but it was a great story about an inventor whose apprentice steals his invention book and goes off to become a master toy maker inventor using the ideas of his previous master. And all that all that Jingle Jangle wanted was for the apprentice to wait and be patient, and then he would get all of the inventions in time. But of course, he backstabbed him and went off and did his thing. But then it follows the story of like his breakdown of his family and his, you know, the death of his wife and his daughter disappears. But then his granddaughter comes back into his life and tries to get him to invent again because he stopped doing it for such a long time. And then ultimately, the apprentice runs out of inventions and he's like, he has no more original ideas. So he's like trying to find a new idea. So he tries to steal something again. But, you know, overall, it's a really great Christmas story. It's got some good family heart in it. Even through all of that, Mr. Jingle Jangle himself forgives the apprentice for stealing his things. He still forgives him even at the very end. So it's got some good lessons in it. Really fun movie. It's quite long, but there's enough going on there that it was entertaining to watch the whole way through. So I watched that. And then you talked to me last week and you strongly urged that I watch Bridgerton with Alex.
Yes.
You very, very strongly pushed that on me. So what did I do after that episode? I went and turned on the first episode. I have to say, I watched 20 minutes of it and fell asleep. I was that bored.
You got to push through, bro. Bruv.
I kid. I fell asleep 20 minutes into it because I'd been awake for 20 hours. I did a full day of work. I did the podcast. And then I decided to go watch an hour-long show. And I was like, yeah.
Moisten.
So I went back to it last night. I had a few nights of better sleep and went and watched the first two episodes last night because they're hour-long episodes. It's quite long. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, this is good. I like this. I have no idea why you recommended it so hard for me and Alex to watch together, Justin. I have no idea why.
Yeah. I mean, I know you say that sarcastically, but you just wait. You know, the candle has been lit. Just wait till it hits the fireworks about halfway through, because the first couple few episodes, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Where did all this stuff come from? I'm talking, there's like a whole episode where it's just like, and you're like, okay.
So, I guess. I mean, there were fireworks in the second episode, like literal fireworks. Yeah. But what I liked about it is that it's set in the Regency period of English history, but it's alternative history. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is cool. This is how it could have been. And then it's also like, you know what? We're going to do an OC style drama, but we're going to set it in the 1800s England. And they're like, sold, sign me up on that. That's what I'm getting. I'm feeling that's what's happening. You got a bunch of young people that are going through a lot of family issues and how they are then getting portrayed into society while also falling in love or not falling in love, in quote, air quotes. And I'm sitting there the whole time going, he's falling in love with her, or she's falling in love with him.
And Alex, why are you fighting it?
Alex is just like, just shh, just watch.
She's like, this is romantic. Why are you being so angry right now?
Because I'm like, I'm angry because that was me younger. Yeah. You can't fake these things. Anyway, that, my dear friend, is what I've been watching mostly in the last week or so. Mm. How about you? What's been on your tube?
Well, that, first of all, that makes me very happy because that Bridgerton, that style of show, you know, like that wouldn't pop, you know, wouldn't pop up on my Netflix algorithm. Maybe it would because it was so highly rated. So you do get those top rated ones, but it's generally not the style of show that I tend to gravitate to. So when I watched it and really, really enjoyed it and then decided I needed to talk about it, I was a little bit like, because I don't know, like it's a good show, but I didn't know if other people would feel as strongly about it as I did. So I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying it. I cannot wait for you to get all the way through it because it is fantastic from start to finish. They really did a good job. As far as what I've been watching, not too much new. But I do want to say, Schitt's Creek. Last episode, I talked about how it barely had enough to keep us going. And I said, we thought we were about episode 9 or 10. Turns out we're only 6 in. Well, episode 7 was the turkey shoot episode. And we watched it, and it was so funny. Because Kate was a bit hesitant to watch, and I was like, yeah, let's just give it a couple more. We watched episode 7, which was the turkey shoot episode. So good. Watched like the next one. So good. The next one. So good. And it was like, boom. So it took 7 episodes for it to really start rolling for me. But after that, man, like the folding the cheese episode, like so funny. The write-off episode with writing stuff off with his new job. So funny. It's like, it is so good. And actually, one of the characters, the mum, Moira, played by Catherine O'Hara, she was like one of the characters who I didn't really like in the beginning. And I wasn't a big fan. But she is, her and Daniel Levy's character are my favorite. Especially her. I don't know. I just love the way when she talks, she changes her voice. Like she just like does these weird things when she's, you know, like she's just always performing because she plays an actress in the film, or at least like an ex-actress, somebody who used to be. I don't know if she, you know, at least where I am, she hasn't done any roles. I think they offered her a commercial at one point or something and she was like super stoked about it. But she has that performer in her. You can just, when she gets into like heated moments or something that's like, I don't know. And I think it's so funny. I love what she does. And Dan Levy's character is awesome. The whole Mutt and I forget the sister's name storyline and Ted, like, yeah, you know, it has its moments. I could sort of do without that storyline. I think they could tweak it, give her a little more depth or something. I don't know. Maybe that's coming, but for me, that's about the only thread that is missing to make it like a complete like slam dunk. So needless to say, because of how happy we were and how much we've been enjoying it, that has taken over everything. Forget you, Yellowstone. Forget whatever else that we've been watching. That has been it. But I do want to say, before we move on, I want to say thank you to Rachel, our lovely Rachel. Everybody's lovely Rachel. Because I was talking about that Kathy Bates film last episode, And of course, who knew it? Rachel. Of course she did. And she let me know that was called Misery. So thank you, Rachel, for that. Much appreciated.
I think, so you're talking about these episodes of Schitt's Creek, and I have no idea. Because what? If you remember my story, I didn't register into the series when Alex was watching it until like 3 or 4th season. So I've seen those episodes.
Yeah.
But I was not there. I was either reading or doing something else, and they were just in the background. So both you and Rachel mentioned about the cheese falling. I'm going to go back and watch it.
It is so funny, man. It is so funny. That one's really good. And I'll send you actually those three, because those three were like, I mean, after the turkey shoot, like the turkey shoot was the first one that like really, I was like, yeah, like that was hilarious. And then they're all good and funny, but those are the three that were like, of what I've seen so far, I think we're halfway through season two now. I think there's 13 episodes a season, but those three were like standout. I mean, they all have really funny moments, but those ones were like some of the funniest for me so far. And I'll send them to you after we're done this.
Now, on that, because that's a Netflix show.
Mm.
Now, I do believe that the folks down in Netflix had some rather interesting news that they brought to the world just the other day. And this here, folks, is going to be a tiny, tiny little bit. I say tiny. It's probably going to end up being freaking way longer than we wanted. This is going to be our trade talk. Now, Justin actually came to me with this one, and he's like, have you seen this, bruv? And I'm like, I don't think so. So he went and told me all about it, and he's going to tell you all about it right now.
I got to tell you, like, okay, so I read up on it a little bit, but not enough to really talk too much about it. But Netflix announced, I mean, Disney announced pre-Christmas, their slate of films for like the next 4 years, and Hayden and I were, and then a lot of the rest of the world were like, oh, it's awesome. Well, the Netflix, they just came out and they just dropped like, hey, we're doing 70 new films in 2021. They're doing a new film every week in 2021. And I know what you're thinking. 70 divided by 52 is more than one. I don't know how the math works. Maybe they're going to release multiples, but they sort of pitched it as a new film every week. But then I was looking at it further and they said they're doing 70 new films. So I was like, head scratcher. Anyways, now I know what you're thinking. Netflix originals. Who cares? I mean, they have the odd good one, but they have some big names behind some of these films. Some very big names. So it's kind of exciting because it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. I wonder if this was Netflix's plan or if Disney like dropped this like mic and Netflix is like, yo, pick that crap up. Cause
I need to throw it further.
Yeah. I'm gonna chuck that mic. Yeah. Some of the names, Hayden, fill us in.
All right. So if any of you, we'll post a link to Netflix released a trailer. Like this is how big their announcement was. They didn't do an investor meeting like Disney does. They were just like, you know what? We're talking about films and why we enjoy films. So here's a trailer, a movie trailer on the movies that we're going to be releasing this year. And it starts off with a big trio. You've got Gal Gadot, you've got Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and you've got Mr. Canada himself, Mr. Ryan Reynolds. And then it goes on. You've got Lin-Manuel Miranda, you've got Halle Berry, you've got Regina King, you've got Chris Hemsworth, who sticks out like a sore thumb when his voice comes in. I'm just like, that's Chris Hemsworth. I know that straight away. Maybe that's just because I'm an Australian and I'm like, hey, there's another Australian speaking. Everyone be quiet.
Yeah, he's got some. This guy knows what he's talking about here.
Yeah. I mean, who else was there? There's Idris Elba had stuff. Melissa McCarthy, Jennifer Garner, like so many. Jason Momoa, like so many big names. The one that pops up at the very end of the trailer, I'm going to talk about it after I get a little bit more from Justin, because that one I want to talk a little bit about because it looks like a lot of fun. And you want me to keep going?
Well, just go with it, bro.
The very, very end of the trailer has a kind of goofy-looking Leonardo DiCaprio and someone with fresh-cut bangs in her hair who I haven't seen on the screen for a few years now, Miss Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, I was going to guess her. I was going to say, let me guess.
I was too excited,
I know. That's. I could tell your excitement. I was like, oh. Because I know you're a Jennifer Lawrence fan. Ooh,
yes,
I know
you're. Yes.
You like a lot of her stuff. So when you said, and then I started thinking, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, who's he going to say? Who's he say? And then when you were saying hasn't been on a while, I was like, who hasn't been on a while? I was like, you know who I haven't seen in a while? Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. So you combine, like, see, some people might get a little caught up in thinking. One way of why I think Justin thinks I really like Jennifer Lawrence, but there's another reason why I really like Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay, let me clear that up. I say that because I know you've talked highly about a lot of the films she's done, so I've assumed that about you.
There you go. See, he knows why. All of you other folks, I'm a lot more deeper than I look.
She's a brilliant performer.
Not that you can see me at all, but yeah. I love that she is one of the youngest like Oscar-nominated actresses for her. Like for her generation, she's had like 4 or 5 leading performance like nods, and she's got a win. I think the only other person to do that is Meryl Streep with that many awards. Rachel, if you know the answer, which I'm thinking you might, please add to this conversation and correct me. But yeah, and Leo has just done so many good things, and he's, you know, so many amazing performances. To pair those two together and the director of it, the film, by the way, is called Don't Look Up. I'm going to go a quick little announcement of it. It's like a pair of astronomers tried to warn everyone on Earth that a giant meteorite will destroy the planet in 6 months. Now, it sounds like a deep impact Armageddon sort of drama, but it's actually written by Adam McKay, who has directed films like Vice, The Big Short. Mm. He did Get Hard with Will Ferrell and...
Wait a minute. He wrote those?
He directed those and wrote those. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's also wrote Anchorman, The Campaign. So he's done a lot of comedic writing. And he's done these, like, he did like The Big Short and he did The Other Guys, Step Brothers. He's done all of these like hugely comedic and somewhat serious, like serious comedy films. So I'm really excited to see those two actors in a comedic style film, but it's dealing with like a serious looking thing. And I'm just like, dang, this is, I mean, it's probably a good move to throw those two into a, you know, like, I don't think I've ever seen either of them do a flat out comedy. If it's going to be like that.
It'd be interesting. Maybe it'll be more like The Big Short where it'll be more dramatic with flares of comedy. It's interesting because, when you're rattling off those lists, the Big Short like stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, other guys, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Step Brothers, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, Anchorman, Will Ferrell. Like he's, you know, when you're writing for Will Ferrell, you don't really need to do much. You just say, this happens. Okay. Improv some stuff and
yes,
be goofy. But the Big Short is like, that was a really, not that the others weren't good, but I mean, like dramatically, that was a really good film. That was what, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill. Is Jonah Hill in that one? Maybe I'm thinking Moneyball with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. But
anyways, Brad Pitt's in it. Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Carell, Christian Bale.
It probably got... Did it not get some Oscar noms?
It got Oscar winner for Best Writing Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, so
it
you get this
guy. It was also Best Picture nominee and Best Supporting Actor nominee. So it was some good cheese on that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So he started off doing like really sort of quirky, goofy comedies and then moved to more dramatic with flair, you know, with humor in it, and wins an Oscar for Best Writing. He's probably like, why haven't I been doing this since the beginning?
Yeah, I found the good blend. So but seeing that,
yeah,
I'm wondering, because this coming year, and we're going to go off on a little tangent here, 2021 is going to be an interesting year again for cinema in terms of awards. Now, I'm interested to watch the Oscars and the other, because they've started to give out awards for the best films of last year. And obviously, lots of things were released on streaming platforms. I'm beginning to lose how to speak already, folks. It's too early in the episode for this to be happening. But this year, I feel, is going to be even, like, all of these companies are... Yeah, everyone lost their mind when Warner Brothers made their announcement. But I think a lot of people are going to be doing the exact same thing, just slightly different. So Netflix obviously is already a streamer, and they are already butting heads with the Academy about how their films can qualify. But now they have 70 films for the entire year with all of these amazing performances in it and performers that, when it comes to awards at the end of next year, or the end of this year, sorry, for next year, it's going to be like, dang,
what
to choose?
Between that and Disney, I mean, come on, people, keep bringing it on. Like, the content that is coming up is like so much. There's so much to get excited about. And that's just two.
I'm just going to minor diverge again. Because you've got Netflix, you've got Disney. I'm waiting on an announcement from Amazon, from Prime. Because Amazon Studios has been very quiet this entire time. I mean, Bezos is like, I've got enough money to do whatever I want. I don't have to do anything. Prime. Apple TV Plus, I think they're calling it now, I'm waiting for their announcement. Now, why I'm waiting for their announcement is... Episodes back, folks, we talked about how James Bond was having a little trouble with his distribution deal. They were out of pocket some ridiculous amount of money, and they were asking for, what was it, north of $400 million to kind of buy the film and the advertising costs out, but no one wanted to budge. Now, there's rumors circulating that MGM Studios is looking for buyers. So their entire studio is up for sale.
What?
Yeah. And Apple is one of the folks that are circling. So if Apple acquires the entire back catalog of MGM, one, that'll be really cool for those people that use iTunes, because all of those films will suddenly be available, hopefully, on that platform. But it means all future films through MGM will then be through Apple. So they'll suddenly have a little bit more clout in the industry on having, you know, award-style films. Because I think they've only really been around for a year, haven't they? They haven't had any, like, big feature films that have released through Apple.
Yeah, they have. I think they have a big show. I saw something recently, an advertisement for a show that was actually, they've been pushing it pretty hard on something I've been watching a lot. The only real cable TV I watch is the football. It's football nowadays, and maybe
something. Well, they have that C show, whatever it is, with Jason Momoa, but it's TV. I'm waiting for Apple to do a film.
Yeah, no, this isn't film. Yeah, this is TV that I'm thinking. I can't remember what it is, but they're pushing it pretty hard.
So anyway, Disney's done this. Netflix just dropped their bomb. I'm waiting on everybody else to play catch up. Well, Warner Brothers, who benefits? Disney. The consumer.
The consumer.
And probably the executives who get all that money in their pockets.
Yeah. Screw them. We don't need money. We just need good TV to watch.
Exactly. Oh.
Wait a minute.
But hopefully, with all that money that they make from the new subscribers and all that, they will maybe create avenues for independent filmmakers. Like Amazon Prime used to have an independent filmmaker like registry where you could submit your work and go on the platform. I don't know if they still have that, but it would be kind of nice to see all these other big dogs sort of open up the gates for the less expensive filmmakers to get a shot at getting their stuff seen.
I feel like Netflix did that. I feel like Netflix did that.
They do have it, but they also have very strict guidelines on what you have to use to make your film. So you can't just use any old like digital SLR camera that shoots 4K, like or 8K or whatever. It has to be specific cameras. They have like a list. There are rules and it's quite annoying. But
there should be no rules when it comes to filmmaking.
I mean, I get it in terms of having the right codecs for playback, but...
Okay, sure. If you want to get all technical.
If you want to get technical. Well, the funny thing is, quick story before we get onto our main discussion. When we were dealing with... When Justin and I were dealing with our sales agents for our distribution of Burn Your Name, they hounded us for a specific type of output of the film. Now, we didn't, at the time, we didn't have the funds to make that output. So we're like, well, we can't give you what you need. And technically, by your agreement, you were supposed to do it for us. And then once our film hits positive income, then we'll start making money. So like, they were supposed to pay for all of these like things that they asked for, and they never did. They just kept asking for us to do it. Then all of a sudden, magically, after we were like, we're done talking about this, get back to us when you've answered our questions. Mm-hmm. About a year later, they're like, hey, your film's on Amazon Prime. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they magically had encoded the film to the correct specifications that it needed to be on these platforms worldwide for like $0, and then they sent us like a file of it or whatever they did. Actually, they didn't even do that. And I was just like, how did this suddenly happen when you said that you needed all these things from us? Funny stuff can happen when dealing with sales agents in different countries.
Yes.
Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah, we should actually, that's a good conversation, good something to talk about for if there's any independent filmmakers who are listening to this, to get further into that. I know it might not be the most interesting stuff for everybody else, but actually, if you want to know more about that, contact us, because if we get enough people that are interested, maybe we'll get into how all that played out. Because it is it was a whirlwind, to say the least.
Exactly. Now, while we get off that train, we're going to jump on to our Mando train.
Toot. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, no.
I'm going to try to remember the theme song.
I was about to butcher it.
So the Mandalorian, folks.
Mandalorian. Yo, before Hayden does the intro to this, there's going to be spoilers. So if you have, like I said earlier, if you haven't watched it by now, then you're not a fan. So who cares? Just listen.
Yeah,
just listen. So good.
If you're tossing up whether or not you want to get Disney Plus for 80 years of Disney entertainment, think about getting it for one show. And that's one of the most streamed shows. And funnily enough, one of the most pirated shows of 2020, sorry. The Mandalorian. I read that statistic the other day.
Most streamed, most pirated?
Yeah.
We hitting all avenues, baby. That's how you know it's good.
Exactly. So because there's no more seasons of Game of Thrones, so it's like, yeah. What's the next thing? This show is better because it's Game of Thrones not on anymore. Anyway, The Mandalorian Season 2 debuted in, what was it, October?
Hot damn. Yep.
Something. And then it ran. Now, this is what I like about what Disney's doing. They're going old school in that they're not releasing an entire season all at once. They're making you wait. You get your one episode, and then you got to wait a week. And then you get your next episode, and then you got to wait a week. So they like ride those, like they build up an episode, and then they make you wait. And what's really cool about the show is that one of the cool things about the show, because there's many,
yeah,
is that in the old days you had time constraints for a TV show, right? So if you had an hour block, you would shoot 45 minutes or 45 minutes, and then the rest is ads. If you had a half hour slot, you would have a 20-minute show. Hence why Modern Family is like a 22-minute show, right? That's a 30-minute block. Boom. Mandalorian don't care about time slots. It gives you the exact amount of time that you need for a story, and then that's it. It gives you an hour for the episode one. Gives you 40 minutes for episode two. Justin's favorite episode is the shortest one of the season. It's like 32 minutes, but you wouldn't know that when you watched it. Well, I say second favorite episode.
It was the favorite for the longest time.
For two weeks.
Until the last one. But yeah, that just goes to show what we were talking about earlier when we were talking like episodes ago when we're like, you know, these 2.5, 3-hour movies that are coming out now. And you're like, we're like, like a good hour and a half is enough. Well, I guess that's with TV. I didn't realize that until you just said that was the shortest. If you do it properly and you do it well, time is not an issue. I've mentioned it before and I want to mention it again, just because I like to repeat myself. Love, and the boys did it too, the one episode release a week, because the excitement that builds throughout the week leading up to it is adds to the whole experience of watching the show. You know, when you just plow through like six episodes in a day, it's great, but that feeling that you get when it's like Wednesday and then Thursday and you're like I loved, because the boys and the Mandalorian always came out Friday, and I loved coming home Friday from work and coming in and being like, yo, James, what day is it today? And at first he was always like, Friday. And I'd be like, and what's Friday? And at first he didn't, you know, until it was consistently on a Friday, he didn't get it. I was like, it's a Mandalorian. And then I'd come home and be like, hey kids, it's like, what day is it today? Mandalorian! You know, like, it's like the hype. And there's like, we eat dinner, you know, like we wait and they always want to watch it right away, but we got to wait till Elsie goes down because you can't enjoy a show with a baby. What can you really enjoy with a baby? A baby is about the only thing you can enjoy with a baby. Everything else, forget about it.
Except baby. Okay. Grogu. Baby Grogu. You can enjoy that.
So yes, love the 1 week thing. There's times where I'm like, oh, I hate this. I just want to watch the next thing. But I do love the week thing because it adds to that experience, that excitement of like, it's coming.
It's funny that you should say that, because every Friday at work, I do the exact same thing to Alex. I'm like, guess what day it is? And she's like,
yeah.
Mandalorian. I'm like, yeah. But first, I'm probably going to podcast with Justin, so he won't be able to watch it until like 10:30 at night.
Yeah, she's like 10:30. It'll probably be like 11:30. You guys always go long.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and not do that today. But anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about The Mandalorian Season 2, like we already just said. But I wanted to start off, I wanted to kind of break it down because you can't really – we said this last week. We could talk about the entire last episode for multiple episodes of this podcast. So instead of that, we're just going to do a – well, not it's going to be a summary of a few of our favorite parts of why this show is important. I'm going to say it's important for me as a creative and a filmmaker to see a show like this, to see how you can tell a story, you can use multiple directors and have their own imprints on these episodes while keeping it familiar to an audience. And the writing and just all of this character building and world building and storytelling, there's just so many elements that get me so excited that I was like, I got to break this down. I got to break it down.
Break it down for us, man.
Break it down. So I want to start. It's going to be a double whammy because I think, well, obviously favorite episode runs concurrently with favorite director. So I wanted to throw it to Justin to give us your favorite episode and your favorite director of this season.
Oh, bro. Favorite director of the season has to be Robert Rodriguez. I mean, I struggle with this, okay? Because, I mean, the finale, the season finale was, it was up there as one of the best episodes of television that I've ever watched. There are very few seasons or episodes of television that I've watched that I carry with me to this day. And this is now one of them. So the final episode was so good. But up until that point, I think it was episode 8. Are there 10 episodes in Mandalorian? If there are, it was episode 8. It was second to last episode.
There's 8 a season.
8 a season. Oh, okay. So it was episode 6, the tragedy. And it was directed by Robert Rodriguez. And I loved this episode because for a season and 3 quarters, you still don't know who Grogu, we'll call him by his name because we know that now. But up until this point, you didn't know anything. So for about a season and 3 quarters, you knew nothing about who this character was, but you loved him. You fell in love with him. And the relationship that Mando had with him. And in the episode 6, season 2, The Tragedy, oh man, this like in the episode before that or two before that, Ahsoka got introduced. Anyways, she's the one who told them, like, you need to bring him to this place. He will reach out. If there's any Jedi, they will come. In the tragedy episode, we're introduced to Boba Fett for the first time. So he comes back. And All armored up. And they'd sent, and also, oh yeah, that's the episode we're introduced into the Dark Troopers. So, and we find out about the Grogu's name. So anyways, so Baby Yoda is up on this mountain and he's sitting on this thing and this like energy field is like shooting up to the sky, whatever is happening, I don't know. But they end up sending these, and Mando and Boba Fett and... Who's Boba Fett with? He's with a woman. I can't remember her name. Hayden's going to throw it to me after he looks it up. So they're trying to fight off the enemy as they're trying to come steal Grogu. And then anyways, they send down these dark troopers. Moff Gideon sends down these dark troopers and they come in and they kidnap Grogu. And they take him away. And then it's revealed for the first time who Grogu actually is. Not who he is, because that comes, you find out his name in the Ahsoka episode, but you found out why they want him. Because they're stealing his blood, because he has the high M count in his blood, which I might add is a very, very controversial element in the Star Wars world. Because you didn't know why in Star Wars, why or how Jedi were Jedi and how they were able to use the Force and how Sith were able to use it. But in episode 1, The Phantom Menace, with Qui-Gon Jinn, they introduced the midichlorian count, which is midichlorians, which is in your bloodstream. People hated it. So I have to give props to John and Filoni, because I can't think of his first name right now because I'm too amped up talking about this.
Dave,
yes. Thank you. They brought it back because they were talking about the M count in his blood and how high it was. And basically what they were using, Grogu, Baby Yoda, was to extract his blood, and they were trying to create Siths, their own Siths. And it sort of led on to the audience that, you know, they couldn't really take any more at risk of losing the subject, the patient. So the reason why I liked that episode so much was because not only did you really learn about the backstory behind this character that everybody loves so much, but also you just know in Moff Gideon taking him that it was about to kick off some serious shears. You know, you don't take from Mando, especially when he just teamed up with Bubba.
Except his ship. You take his ship away from him, which is a very sad moment.
You take a ship.
Take a ship.
You take a ship. You take Grogu. So you take everything from him. What I'm saying is you shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have.
I don't know if any of that made sense to anybody listening. Maybe I was too excited in telling that.
You can tell he's impassioned about it, though, folks, which is the main thing.
Yes.
And I love the fact that you chose Robert Rodriguez, because from a filmmaker's perspective, he is someone that we aspire to be. Because if, folks, if you don't know his filmography, he did a little film called El Mariachi back in the 90s. And then followed up with a film called Desperado with Antonio Banderas. And then from there he went and he did Sin City, he did Spy Kids, he did all of these massive big franchise films. He did, most recently he did this, and he did Battle Alita last year. But he's a guy that went from shooting a film with tail ends of film, which is basically you find the scraps of film that are left over from old film rolls and you stick them together and then you use them to film. So he shot an entire film for, what was it, like $3,000? Mm. And then that launched his career. And there's like a whole book of it called, it's not Rebel Without a Cause. It's like Rebel Without a Crew, something like that. It's a great filmmaking book. So it's good to see him. He's now like at the echelon of the TV and film industry at the moment by shooting on The Mandalorian. And I'm pretty sure that the majority of this episode was done on location. It wasn't done in the volume. So yeah, it's like real world scenarios. So I loved it. And I didn't even realize that it was such a short episode because there is so much crammed into it.
So, I mean, it didn't feel like a, sometimes in TV you have filler episodes or you have episodes where, stuff's going on, but it's not really moving the whole arc of the story along. And that's why I felt like this one, I was like, bam, bam, bam. You know, like I was so excited for the Ahsoka episode because I love
Now I'm gonna cut in there. That was my favorite episode.
Was
one of my favorite episodes. Only because one, it's a Dave Filoni written and directed episode, which I found was really good because he was co-creator of the Ahsoka Tano character with George Lucas from the Clone Wars, that anime series. So yeah. I thought it's only right that he get the chance to bring her to live action if he's the writer and director of the episode. So I watched that, and this is where I think this is an instance of great mentorship of a director, producer, storyteller, George Lucas, passing on his talents to another filmmaker. Now, he and Dave Filoni worked together for years on The Clone Wars, and this is Dave Filoni's first move into live action. Now, so he's used all of these story elements that he's learned. Like, regardless of what people think about George Lucas, he is a master storyteller. He knows the elements that make a story resonate and stick in your head. He's also a big fan of Japanese cinema and samurai cinema. So if you watch the Jedi episode, littered with Akira Kurosawa references all over it. So I was watching that and I was like, why do I recognize these setups? And then I saw someone else put like a side-by-side online and I'm like, that is why. I've seen these in all of these films, these exact setups and the way that the story is told and the way that the environment reflects the story. And I'm like, this is a very, very good introduction to live action directing by Dave Filoni. Like, holy crap, to throw that much in, because he spent years, like a decade and a half, learning from a computer screen side of things to dumb it down before he stepped out. So this is a learning, you know, thing for every filmmaker out there. You don't have to be rushed to get where you need to go as much as you want to. It's a long process to learn the skill set and to properly present your story to the world. And that was one of the reasons why I loved that episode. Also, Rosario Dawson absolutely nailed the mannerisms and all of that of a, you know, of Ahsoka. And then also, yeah, this where you learn Grogu's name. And there's like the scene where when he hears the Mandalorian, when he hears Din Djarin say his name the first time, I was like, oh man.
When he looks, he keeps looking, he'd be like, Grogu? And then Grogu would turn his head and look at him. And he'd do that little head tilt.
Like, he finally knows my name.
Daddy?
Yeah. So that was my favorite episode. From technical writing, performance-wise, like all of the boxes, I was just like, ooh, it's such a good one. Where can they go from here? And then they go to the next one, the tragedy, and then they go to the finale, and it's just like, holy crap, it's a 1-2-3 knockout.
Literally. I did like, I love the Jedi, the Ahsoka one. That was so good. It was the one I was most, honestly, the one I was most excited about. Because everybody knew there was going to be an Ahsoka episode. Everybody knew that she was going to come in. And I was so excited for that. And when I heard it was Rosario Dawson, I was even more excited. So that was the episode I was most excited about. So I don't know if that's why when I saw it, I was like, I still liked it. It was a fantastic episode. But then when the tragedy happened and I was like, oh man, they took Grogu. They done messed up. And then I think it was two episodes later was the finale. And the finale was an absolute masterpiece. I mean, it was good, but the final sequence for me was like one of the best final sequences of anything I've ever watched. It was up there with like Whiplash for me. Like Whiplash, the final 20 minutes of Whiplash for me were some of the best 20 minutes of film I've ever seen in my life. And when I watched Mandalorian, it was like that for me, where it's literally heart pumping on the edge of my seat. James on the edge of his seat. Kate sitting up on the edge of her seat. Jocelyn on the edge of her seat. All talking about it at the same time. Like, oh my goodness. Could it be? Is this happening? You know what I mean? Like, it was so good. I don't know if you're wanting to get into to that episode yet. That's why I haven't said much more than that. But, man.
I don't think the people quite know how excited we were about this. Not very much. Now, folks, when Justin watched Whiplash and I was writing Burn Your Name, he must have referenced the final 20 minutes of Whiplash to me a dozen times before I watched it. He was like, so I knew that he wanted me to land the ending on Burn Your Name as close to that kind of pace and as Whiplash. Now, I tried my darndest. It probably, like, if you watch Burn Your Name, it's a slow burner, and then 75% of what happens to these characters happens in the last 20-25 minutes of Burn Your Name. Like, it's just like one after the other, after the other, after the other. There's just like bad things just happen, and then it like resolves. So when he says it's on par with the end of Whiplash, you better recognize and pay attention to what this man is saying. Now, it does, and this is also a good point, because I know that Justin is invested in Star Wars like I am from a very young age and a long period of time. And I'm not sure how Kate is or the kids, because they're not very old, obviously. But I wonder if it has the same strength to a person who is a general viewer. So if you don't know the backstory, it's still a very good ending, because you don't know what's happening until the very, very, like, till the reveal, right? Basically. But I'm going to leave it at that, because we could go on for another 20 minutes on that, and we might save that for another episode.
I want to say one thing. Yes. 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 It does impact the general viewer the same, because, okay, a general viewer who has a significant other who is big into Star Wars, because when we were watching it with Kate, or well, as a family, and Kate was there, when she watched it, she was excited, and she doesn't watch Star Wars like we do. I mean, she'll watch them because it's like, oh, and the new Star Wars movie is out, that's what we're watching. And she'd be like, okay, like, you know, I'll watch it. She's not a huge fan, but she'll watch it with us. But she watched it and she was like, literally, she was like, holy cow. She's like, that made everything worth it. Everything that came before it is worth it because of that. But James and I, when we're watching it, I don't know if she could, because we were excited. Do we want to talk about what happened in the finale?
I think we might save that.
Oh, you're such a tease.
Yep. Give the people a chance to watch it themselves.
You have 7 days
to watch 16 episodes. But anyway. because it would be worth it to watch all from start to finish of the two seasons. And you could do that pretty quick because it's all available now. The other reason I say that is that because we could go on and on and on and on and on as much as I would love to. We do have something else that we need to speed through.
And you know what? Hey, listen. Okay, people.
That's pretty cool.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, Mr. Fantastic is crushing the broof in these monologues. It's he not really even is. Fair. And then for whatever silly reason, we decided to introduce this new game called Speed Quotes, and the Brew ends up overtaking Mr. Fantastic. Now he has the lead 6-5. But who's keeping track? And in case you missed that, yes, we're going to do some speed quotes. The score is 6-5 for the Brew. His first lead.
My first lead.
So you know what I did, people?
What did you do, Justin?
Because I'm a good sport. And also because you went like 8-8 and 10-10 and your knowledge far exceeds mine. I made mine a little more difficult. And by that, I mean I love gold and Adrian's and more like, okay, you know your films, huh? We'll see about that.
Do ya?
Punk? Dirty Harry. So yes, people, we're going to do some speed quotes. Play along. How'd you do? Let us know how you did. Send us a message. Did you beat us? You probably beat me. I doubt you beat the Brev. But if you did, let us know.
Yeah, so because I am the reigning round champion.
Settle down.
Do you want me to go first?
A little less. Yeah.
Because I'm the reigning round champion, I'm going to give Justin a chance to tie the scores by having him go first. Now, what I've done is he was a little upset that I was doing films that were older than we were. So,
first of all, that was just me being a sore loser. That's all that was.
But I took it to heart and I thought maybe the audience also isn't a huge film buff of films, you know.
The audience. Yeah, definitely.
Their age.
Do it for the audience. Yeah.
So I decided to go for films that were, I believe, all from the year 2000 onwards.
Oh, no, I'm so screwed.
So that's still a 20-year gap. Now, that sounds freaking weird saying that. It's still 20 years worth of films, but it's better than having a 50-year span or a 60-year span of films. So tell me when you're ready, and I'm going to...
I'm ready.
All right. Now, I'm going to skip the first two because I think they're a little bit...
too easy? Don't skip them.
No. Okay. Well, all right.
Okay. No. Skip them? Are they hard? Maybe skip them. Skip them.
Well, I don't know. You might not have seen the film, so I guess I'll just have to read them real quick and see what you got.
I'll ask quick if I don't know.
So, we got 1 minute on the clock.
1 minute on the clock.
1 minute on the clock. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Bing! Release the Kraken.
Oh my goodness, pass. I know that though.
I'm already pregnant, so what other shenanigans could I get myself into?
Knocked up. Okay.
I know who I am.
I'm with the ants. Get off to the next question.
I know who I am. I'm the dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
The dude or the Big Lebowski? No, he's zero.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people don't just shoot their husbands. They just don't.
I hate you.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Avengers. Oh, one of them. It was the Hulk, though. He said
that. I live my life a quarter of a mile at a time.
Fast and Furious.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody.
That's a sign of that, though.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
Very nice.
Yeah, Borat.
You know how I know that you're gay?
Oh, pass.
This is a day you'll always remember as the day you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right.
Okay, I need to know the blood one. Because what was that one from again?
That's from Dodgeball. That's why I gave the follow-up.
Okay, okay. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. That sounds like something they would say. Yeah. Ben Stiller. Nobody makes me bleed. Oh, that just gave me a good idea. Oh, wait. Never mind.
I'm not going to give you any more answers until we're off air so that the listeners don't cheat and get the answers by fast-forwarding the track. Because they would know that by fast-forwarding. Anyway, you got five.
That
not
was
bad.
Record.
It's a record
for me.
Record.
I got to say, a few of those I knew, like the blood one, I knew. I was like, I just can't spend time thinking about it. But I reckon.
And I gave you a little bit extra time because I did the, no. So I was like, yeah, I wasted
what
some time
the heck
there.
Was that, bro?
I was waiting for a pass. You didn't give me no pass. So I was like, I can't continue until I get a pass or an answer.
Mm.
This is the game show rules, man.
Didn't I give you a wrong answer, though? Or did I just.
You didn't give me any answer.
Did I just.
You're like, I don't know.
Oh, okay. You're right. Hey, thanks for following the official rules.
They were written down in this book. Speed Quotes 101 Rules.
You must say pass to move on to the next question. Dang it. I don't know. Does not qualify.
Yep.
All right, man. I was feeling bad about some of these, but now I'm just like, okay. Like, maybe I have a chance. But
you'll probably. Blood.
Yeah. I'm out for blood. Yo, DJ, cue up that timer, please. Okay. I'm going to read the first one. You're going to be like, you're an a-hole.
Bunghole. Okay, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Some people can't believe in themselves until someone believes in them first.
Yeah, pass.
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything.
Oh, dang, pause.
If you're not first, you're last.
Talladega Nights?
Yes. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Oh, Good Will Hunting?
Every man dies, not every... Oh, every man dies. Every man dies, not every man truly lives. Sorry, I do it with an accent. You'll get it.
I got nothing. Okay, boss.
I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you stranger.
The Dark Knight.
A boy's best friend is his mother.
Oh, pass.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Time's up. They were some hard ones. I don't even know which ones I got right because you didn't say right or wrong. So
I don't even know either. I got to go back.
I either got two or I got none.
You got one. Okay. 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 So I may have rigged this a bit. So we'll find a happy balance between my previous ones and that one. You got two.
All right.
You got folks. You got the, okay. So yeah, I was just trying to find my balance. You got the other ones too easily. If you're not first, you're last. Ricky, Bobby, Talladega Nights you got. And I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you stranger. The Dark Knight. You're right about that. Can I give you some of these?
Well, after the episode, we get some of those down.
All right.
Just because.
If you knew any of the other ones that weren't the ones we just gave, you know what to do. You know what to do.
Shout them at us with all capitals, caps lock on the social medias and in the emails. followed by a smiley emoji so we know you're not angry at us.
Yeah. Maybe throw an LOL laughing face in there. You know, we're sensitive. We're sensitive people.
Yeah, we have no idea what people are talking about online because there's no context.
That's right.
Anyway, folks, there you have it. That was a very speedy round of speed quotes, and the tie is back on 6-6. And that brings us around and around.
Oh, it's Rachel.
Oh, it's Rachel.
Rachel's review.
Rachel's review.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Rachel's Reviews. Today is going to be a little bit special because I was requested to review something, which I'm kind of excited for, and it's not a movie. So, well, yeah, not a movie. Limited series, but we'll get into that. I did want to just talk about, you know, what I've been watching in this past week and see what you guys have watched too. So let the crew know and let us know. We'd be happy to hear. Let's see. Last week I left off with, I said that I watched Memories of Murder, which is wonderful, and Criterion just released that they are putting it in the collection. The poster for it, or the cover art for it, for the Blu-ray is gorgeous. It's amazing. Go look it up. We watched The Trial of Chicago 7, which was fine. It was fine. Directed by Aaron Sorkin, written by him as well, I believe. I could be wrong on that one. I'm almost positive, though, but it was all right. Nothing crazy. Steven Soderbergh's newer film, Let Them All Talk, I really liked it. It stars Meryl Streep, Candace Bergen, and Diane Wiest, which is very nice to see a film star three older women, because we don't really see that as often, as there is such an ageism thing with women in film. We'll talk about that one later. And then last night we watched Paul Greengrass's new movie, News of the World, which is a very different pace from all of his other films, because if you know Paul Greengrass, he uses more shaky cam effect. He did Captain Phillips, which stars Tom Hanks, and News of the World stars Tom Hanks as well. I could actually watch this one. I remember when I watched Captain Phillips, I was invited to a pre-screening of it before, you know, the general public got to it. My brother and I both came out very queasy because of the shaky cam and being on water and all this stuff. And yeah, that wasn't fun. That wasn't fun at all. But okay movie to me, but also I couldn't really get through it as much because I felt actually seasick. So that's that one. So yeah, we'll find out next week what I've been watching in the week. And now I'm going to jump over to a review that was requested by Mr. Justin. He had asked Hayden, I loved my message, by the way. So I get a message from Hayden asking, oh, you know, we're going to do the recording, but Justin has a prerequisite asking you to review your first thoughts on Bridgerton, which I'm all for because I started it because of Justin, thanks to the last episode. And I do watch a lot of TV during work because I can just sit in this big comfy chair we have in our office since I work from home. And I just binged Bridgerton, watched the full thing in like 2 days. Good Lord. It's very bingeable. Initial reaction was that I was having a rough time getting through episode one. It's like, what is this show? Is this is really, I don't know about this. But I was looking at some of the actors, and my one friend said how easy it was on the eyes to look at all these actors. I'm like, yeah, she's right. She's right on that one. I'm a big person with casting. Ever since I met Sharon Bialy, who casted Breaking Bad, I've just been fascinated by casts in general. So like, if it's a good cast, it's gonna be good for me most likely. Yes, love Bridgerton cast. And then when you hear the narrator and it's Julie Andrews, the infamous Julie Andrews, oh gosh, come on, you gotta continue watching it just for her voice alone. So yeah, I pushed through the first episode and kept going, and whoo, what a show. It will suck you in like no other. It is super, how do I put this, it's exactly what I was kind of expecting as well, because it was produced by Shonda Rhimes. Shonda, if you know Shonda Rhimes, she does all those TV shows, Grey's Anatomy, like all those cable TV shows that are high in drama and sensuality, which Bridgerton definitely is. The wardrobe is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, hands down to whoever put all that together. There's CG used through the show that does feel very tacky, because you can obviously you can tell it's CGI. It's kind of like what you would see in the background of like some Schitt's Creek episodes for landscape and just whatever is behind them. So it's a little off-putting at times, but other than that, it is fabulous. And I will say one of the most amazing things out of this is probably the score. They take modern music and then dwindle it to just instrumental, like it would be in this past regal era. And it's just so cool. It is so cool. And I would probably, not gonna lie, like if I needed some calming music, I would probably put on the Bridgerton score, because it's perfect. It really is perfect. But the show itself has a lot of drama, has a lot of sultriness. The leads are wonderful. I had a problem with the one lead just because of her eyebrows, the way that she was acting with her eyebrows, but that's just a little minute thing to me. But very much worth the hype. It's only, I believe, you know, I can't remember how many episodes it is. It's not long at all. So you can get through it fairly quickly. I mean, if you want to take your time, absolutely take your time and soak it in. But highly recommended, just like Justin said. And I am begging them to make a season two, because you cannot leave me off at that episode. All right, guys. Hopefully you'll hear me talk next week, and have a great week. Bye.
What do you call a sad cup of coffee?
Decaf?
A depresso.
Woo, okay. You know what's better than depresso? A nice shot of whiskey. Whether or not you like it over ice is up to you. If you're underage, have some apple juice. It looks the same.
Apple or some juice. Tea.
Apple
juice.
Have some apple juice. a little bit of apple juice. Before I get too far going, Rachel, thanks again for another wonderful Rachel's review. I look forward to these every week, as we always do. And I hope the folks listening at home enjoyed her little mini wrap-up or roundup. Start to 2021. Mm-hmm. Hopefully some of you got to some of those 2020 films, because there were a lot that came out that we weren't aware of, because, you know, obviously they didn't go to cinema. Anyway, thanks again, Rachel. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And I'm glad that you peer pressured into watching Bridgerton as well.
Yes. My influence is growing.
There you go. Influence, not peer pressure. Influence.
Yes, influence.
Now we've come to that part of the show, folks, where the glasses are clinked. And the laughs continue. And it's called the whiskey shot. It's where we get a little bit silly, because we're running at the end of the day and the end of the night, and we're very tired and all kinds of funny stuff. But we round out what we have planned for the week ahead and where you might be able to find us, or what you might think we're doing, or what we might think we're doing. Anyway.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. That means you can think whatever you want to think, because you're a free mind. No mind control yet.
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 Now, so the week ahead, I'm going to keep on keeping on with Bridgerton in the hopes that this big wow moment comes that Justin is so graciously not told me about, but he's told me to watch it. So I'm going to do that. I might actually try and get back on Peaky Blinders, because, you know, British TV and British TV go hand in hand. One's a little lighter than the other, so they would equal each other out. So that could be some of that going on. I've actually been on the DL watching Star Wars Clone Wars every now and then, because I've never seen that series all the way through. I saw the original animated film, and then I never got to watch the series because I didn't have the TV channel. that actually showed it. But now that it's on Disney Plus, I've got it. But there's a lot of episodes, and you know, sometimes you got to find the time. Anyway, I'm going to try and get to that. But what I'm really digging at the moment is the fact that we are both, Justin and I, are crushing our writing.
Well, he's
a little bit further ahead than I am because I slacked off. No, I didn't really slack off. We made a secondary bet to get pages to each other. Get those pages. Hashtag get those pages.
Hashtag get those pages.
Before we went to record tonight. Now, Justin last night sent me an email after I'd gone to bed of his pages. So I was like, okay, he hasn't sent me an email yet, which means I don't have to send one. So I put my feet up and went to bed. And then I woke up and there's an email there. And he's like, bruv, 20 pages, boom. And I'm like, gosh darns it.
That's my little trick. I was like, I wonder if one's going to come in. Can I be honest with you?
Please do.
I was finished writing my pages by, I want to say 9 o'clock. But I wanted to spend some time with the love of my life before she went to bed. But I also wanted to proofread everything I wrote before I sent it to you. So I was like, okay, it's done. I'm going to spend some time with Kate when she goes to bed. Then I'll proofread it and then send it to Aiden. So the work was already done. So I could have sent it at 9, but I was like, I got to spell check this MF, you know? I want to send him no grammatical errors. Anyways, that's why it came so late.
My apologies. So I'm going to be working on that because I got to the 20-page mark because I promised Justin that. But then I was like, I need to add a scene in before this. Mm. And I made a silent oath with myself to not go back and edit as I went because I get into trouble of getting caught doing that. And it wastes the time where you could just be writing because you constantly go, anyway, that's what redrafting is for. But I was like, technically, inserting an entire new scene isn't going back and re-editing. It's just putting in a new scene in the spot there. That's how my head is thinking. So I had to add this scene, which I literally just started writing when I was like, oh, crap, I have to make dinner. I have to get ready for the podcast episode. So tomorrow after work, I'm going to finish that scene and I'm going to get him his 20. It's probably going to be about 25 pages for his Friday night reading.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Can I say one thing? I feel like I've had a little bit of an advantage over you just in that I've had this story in my, a rough outline of parts of the story, I should say, for a while. Whereas as when we've made this friendly bet, you had
Wager.
You had nothing. But I don't know. And maybe you've come across the same thing. But man, like I was talking to Kate, like it's been, I've really struggled at points because it's sci-fi, right? And I'm trying to write this story and specifically about this technology that does not exist yet. And it's really hard because it's hard to describe something and come up with something coherent. Like in my head, I'm like, okay, like this makes sense. But then when I try and put it on a paper, I'm like, how do I write this in a way that is going to make sense to somebody who's reading it? And then you write it and you're like, oh my goodness, like, that doesn't make sense. It makes sense to me because I know more than that. But like, I've found it really difficult in that sense when it comes to writing this stuff specifically, especially at the beginning, because at the beginning it's like it's an introduction to this world and to this technology. And I know you can do sci-fi stuff and you can just you can write a film and this technology already exists. And therefore, you don't have to really go back and explain it too much. But for me, as a writer, in writing this, I really wanted to have a sense of how this technology could work, because a portion of this film takes place when this technology is just starting to be introduced, or a variant of this technology, like the infancy of where this technology ends up in this film. So it's not real, obviously. So trying to write something and explain it in a manner that will make sense to the audience or somebody reading it, I found really difficult. So I was going off of your point of where it's like, you know, like just get through a draft and then go back. Cause I'm a victim of the same. Like I used to be, when I'd write something, whenever I'd sit down to write, I'd start at the beginning and I would start reading it and edit it as I go to where I left off and then continue. And that's a lot. That's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, and you're editing it as you go. So I've really tried to embrace the approach of, you know, I'll read the scene or maybe the scene before, so you're familiarized with where you are in the story and the characters and that. But I'm really trying not to edit it. So I'm really worried that you're going to read these first 20 and a half pages and be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, because I'm just, hey, like,
as long as it gives me enough to want to keep reading.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe like,
you just might want to keep reading the same 20 pages over to understand what I'm trying to talk about.
Hey, if it excites me, which it already has, just really quickly, because I know we're supposed to be wrapping up, folks, but I watched a short Vancouver film that was released around Christmas time. It's only 5 minutes. At the 1 minute mark, I wanted to turn it off because I was disengaged 100%. But I struggled through the rest of it to see what happened. Not a lot more. And I'm like, so that said, I've already read five pages of your script, and I wanted to read more. So you're already one up on that last short film that I watched.
Okay, well, the next 15 pages is where it gets really confusing. Just kidding.
Don't say that. Don't say yourself short.
That's what I do. I'm an actor.
There we go. So I'm guessing that your week ahead is going to be a lot of writing.
No, I'm stumped. I don't know where to go from here. No, I'm kidding. Yes.
Damn, I was like, okay. Oh,
no.
I'll just have to keep pushing you and prodding you.
No, there's going to be some writing. There's definitely going to be some more shitting, as in Schitt's Creek. And we've already started rewatching the Harry Potters. And probably get to some Yellowstone, because we stopped watching that after we got so involved in Schitt's Creek. But I don't know. This week is writing and whatever else comes. I'm as long as I can get, if I can get another 5 pages, I'm happy.
Nice. So, folks, that sounds like another stacked week from Justin and I. Like always, like we said at the start of the episode, please, 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 please engage in the conversation. Get in touch with us via the email address, which is from a certain point of view podcast at gmail.com, or any number of our social medias. Or if you don't really like those, but you're already listening to the podcast on any one of the channels that it's on, that's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, it's on all of them. Like, subscribe, comment, please get in contact with us. It's so much fun when we hear from you. We love it. So until next time, that is adios from the Brove
and Mr. Fantastic.